Our readings from the scriptures today have much to do with prophets. My Catholic Bible dictionary defines a prophet simply as one who speaks for God. We often think today of prophets as those who foretell the future, but that's only one aspect of the biblical prophet's mission. Prophecy is a charism, a special gift of grace from God that is meant to benefit the whole community. In the Old Testament, as in the case of Jeremiah, whom we hear from in our first reading today, the prophets helped prepare Israel for the coming of the Christ and the institution of the new covenant with God. The prophets especially called upon Israel to remember its covenants with the Lord and to turn away from sin before it was too late. Jesus was widely considered a prophet as he was preaching and teaching, healing and exorcising demons throughout Galilee and Judea. We hear about this in our gospel reading today. Jesus didn't use that word prophet to describe himself directly, but he did give reference to it when he said, "No prophet is accepted in his own native place." Jesus preached, as we hear frequently throughout the gospels, "Repent and believe in the gospel." He had much to say about preparing for the kingdom of God, about turning away from sin, and about loving our Father in heaven and our neighbor on earth while there is still time. Now, there are three things that really characterize a biblical prophet, and these can be seen most clearly in the life of our Lord. First and most importantly, a prophet knows that he or she is loved by God. That is the foundational motivation for who a prophet is and what she or he is called to do. Jesus drew all his strength from his relationship of love with his Father in heaven. That's why he was praying all the time, and especially when he needed the extra strength for something difficult that lay ahead. St. Paul, too, and the prophet Jeremiah drew their strength and motivation from a deep knowledge of God's love for them. Jeremiah hears God in our first reading today, and God would never abandon him, nor leave him crushed before his enemies, and God would be with him always. St. Paul proclaims in our second reading today that love never fails. God, of course, is love, and he never fails, even when others might. The second thing that characterizes a prophet is that he or she proclaims only what God has revealed and taught, and for the good of the whole human community. Again, Jesus is our perfect model for this. He says on several occasions in the Gospels, and perhaps most definitively in the fourth Gospel at the end of chapter 12, "Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him, the word that I spoke. It will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me." The prophet Jeremiah followed this model of Christ, even though Jeremiah preceded Christ in time. The prophet spoke what the Father told him to speak, as we hear in this first reading. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. But do you gird your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you." And the third thing that characterizes a prophet is that he or she can expect to be rejected and opposed for proclaiming what many in the world do not want to hear. Jesus experienced this in his own hometown of Nazareth, which we hear about at the end of this gospel. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. God told Jeremiah that this would be the case for him too, when he revealed to the prophet in our first reading For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass, against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you." And St. Paul, too, was often opposed for proclaiming the gospel to the people of his day. Some ignored him, some argued with him, and some just picked up rocks to stone him. Paul wanted the world to know God's love for them and the way through Christ that leads to eternal life. But many didn't want to hear it. In the cases of Paul, Jeremiah, and Jesus, what sustained them and kept them on their missions was that knowledge of God's love for them, which would never fail. So what does all this mean for us here at St. Andrew's in Roanoke 20 centuries later? Well, I think we know that Jesus established his one holy Catholic and apostolic church to continue his mission in this world, to proclaim the gospel, to sanctify the people of God, and to invite all people to become members of his one body before time will run out and this world will come to an end. The church's prophetic mission, both as a whole and for each one of us in it, has the same three characteristics that I've been talking about. First, the truth we proclaim about the human person comes from our knowledge of God's love for us and his desire that all lives be fulfilled according to his divine wisdom and ordaining. Secondly, what we teach in this world is not of human origin. We sincerely believe that it has been revealed to us by God throughout salvation history, through the mouths of the prophets and all the scriptures, and especially in the life and teaching of God's own Son, who became man to save us. And we recognize, with plenty of evidence to support it, that the secular world will sometimes ignore, sometimes argue against, and sometimes violently oppose our sincerely held beliefs and teachings, which we understand to be for the good of the whole human community and not just ourselves. That's why Catholics proclaim the gospel in public and try to help order the societies in which we live according to God's eternal truths rather than passing human conventions. Whether we're talking about the need to respect every human life from conception in the womb until natural death, or the design of marriage as between a man and a woman and open to procreation, or the mandates of justice and charity that follow from every person's God-given dignity, or simply just the reminder to keep God first if our human endeavors would be rightly ordered, our church is called to be prophetic, speaking the truth in love. And each one of us has a part to play in this. Again, we do so fundamentally because we know God's love for us and that he wants every person to hear and receive the good news of life, life forever in Christ. Our celebration of the truth in love and the source of all of our strength and joy is here in the Eucharist, where Christ our love is given to us.